Capital Call on AM 1400 K1, brought to you this morning by Phillips 66. And I am talking this morning with Earl Sears, District 11. Good morning, sir. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Charlie. And let me make some excuses for everybody.
I don't think that's necessary, but if you choose
to. Well, no, Senator Daniels, the Senate is, they stayed in session today,
okay.
And they are working. They have about three bills that they need to hear, and then they will be working on the budget. On our side, we're not in session, but our team is down there working on the budget. And the only reason why I'm not there is, before I get to that, and Representative Dunlap, I just got a text message from him that says I won't be at radio.
Okay.
I'm sure he's doing work in his district. I know he's not out at the lake fishing. I assure you he's doing something for the good of the people. Now, the reason why I'm not back down at the Capitol working with the team, I'm going to be on a conference call throughout the day. I'd like to comment about this, then we'll go right into your state government. I want to give a big shout out to Central Middle School. Wonderful career I had, and I'm very proud of that career, 32 years of being at Central and being a principal there for many years. It was just a phenomenal experience and wonderful career in my life. But unfortunately, on 9/11, when the nation was attacked and the two buildings, the towers, went down, our big picture window in Central has a history of, statements in the window, like the Iranian hostage deal when we had our American hostage were being held. Every day we would put a number that the hostages were held. And I remember the day they were released, it was 444, and that was the front page of the paper, was Central's 444, and what we'd put in the window. And the community was very pleased that we were remembering and recognizing. But anyway, in 9/11, if it wasn't the next day, it was for sure the following day. I directed and bought a flag, and student council hung the big flag that that hangs in that picture window. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I was up there and with my wife, and I could see the flag on this side, but in the building. And I said, I hardly never see that flag on the outside anymore. So I went over and pulled that flag back, and it was just almost white. It was.
Sun
so I
done
said,
what sun does.
Right, right. I said, we got to retire that flag. So that's what I've done this morning. We retired that flag. I donated a new flag that will go in the picture window. And not only in remembrance of 9/11, but to the greatness of this nation and all that have stood for this nation, defended this nation, the firefighters, the police, and just the whole remembrance of that day. And then again, I think it's just a resounding statement. When you see the flag, you think of America and the greatness of America. But we also retired that flag that had hung there for 16 years. And so it was just a wonderful, I'm going to give a great shout out to Central. They just did a class act of allowing me to donate the flag, and we just had the flag burning ceremony, which is in itself a beautiful, moving moment of how you retire a flag.
It is, and of course, once we're done with Capitol Call, Central principal and new athletic director will be in. You can carry on that conversation.
Well, all I can tell you, he was there and was presented the flag and also burned part of the stripes. Anyway, it's a rich history, but let's go to the radio show.
Okay.
I want District 10, District 11, and Senate District 29 to know that we are working extremely hard. It's very tough right now. Before the show started, I was telling Charlie, there's just a lot of moving parts as we wrap this thing up. The policy things are pretty well there, and nothing major, and that'll all come together, but it's this budget. Governor has a position, we have a position, Senate has a position, and they're really coming together. But the problem is, I know you read this in the paper because we get your emails, but if we don't put more revenue on the table to balance a budget by the Constitution, you got to have a balanced budget. We got to put revenue on the table. Now, that revenue either comes through tax measures, either reduction of tax credits, monies that are apportioned off the top that were already given to quality program. Something has to give, and there lies where the journey that we're on. Some people are still holding it on tight, not wanting to raise taxes, and I get that. Quite frankly, the two big tax issues that are still, that really has always been from day one, is raising the price of a pack of cigarettes to $1.50, and gasoline tax. And you can have an argument. There's people who don't want to raise taxes, and if you were a smoker out there, you don't want to pay the extra $1.50. I get that. And there's a lot of people who don't want the gasoline taxes to go up. But the logic of it is the tobacco tax, if it passes, would go to the health care budgets, all of them. And if we raise the gasoline tax, every dime of that, which would generate about $207 million, every dime of that would go to transportation.
And we have a precedent, of, actually, for both of those already in state policy.
That is correct. That is correct. And in the gasoline tax, you know, I could give you the statistics. We're already the lowest in the nation and trying to convince, but it's beyond if you raising the tax. We have to come up with money. So again, it's either raising a tax measure, rolling back the tax credits, which, let there be no mistake, there's a lot of money there. And I'm one of those. I want to do that. I want to do a little bit of the tax. I've made it perfectly clear. I've never hit it. I would vote for a tobacco tax and a gasoline tax because I just told you they are tied to the health care and the gasoline is tied to transportation. We're not going to take that money and fund a teacher pay raise or put it in corrections. It's all for transportation.
Worthy causes, but that's not the purchase.
And I think all of us want good roads and bridges. So anyway, but also I've been fighting tenaciously to roll back the tax credits. I'm not having great success there, Charlie. But that's where we are. It's not gloom and doom. We will have a budget. It'll either be a budget that we can all live with, or it'll be a budget that is just as ugly as it can be, and the governor may very well veto it.
She has said, it's been a couple of weeks, so she may modify that position, but she has said that she would not accept a budget without an increase in taxes.
Well, I think she's probably modified that, but what I know the governor will not accept is a budget that absolutely has huge cuts to state government. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you today, that's where I'm at. I don't want education cut. I want to keep it flat. But when you do that, that pushes a number up in something else. And there's three I want to keep flat: public education, corrections, and public safety. And I'll take that back. There's four: DHS. We absolutely have to. We know we can't get them more money, but we absolutely have to keep them flat. And we can do that if we do some of these measures, either address the apportionments, the tax credits, and some of those tax measures that I've named. So none of that, we do not have the plan. It has not been finalized. I can't announce today that we're hours away from a budget deal. However, that's what we're doing. Even though we're not in session, that is what the House team is doing. All AB chairs are there. As I said, I had to come home to do this for Central. I was donating the flag and be part of the ceremony and wanted to. And I will be on a conference call and probably head back there and work with them over the weekend. But there's a lot of work and intense work going on as we speak at your state capitol to try to wrap this up.
Well, that's certainly encouraging. And you've said since, well, week one of this program, and certainly every year that you've been on it, is that is, you know, one mandatory goal as far as the budget that has to be done.
That is, we have to do the budget. Well, that's just, again, you got to do the budget. But what's key to it, and our founding fathers did a great job, and with the stroke of a pen said, you got to have a balanced budget. Mm-hmm. It keeps you in check, keeps your checks and balances, keeps you from spending too much money. And anyway, I could go on and on.
Just look at the other 49, and I won't say that they're all guilty, but many have gotten themselves in all kinds of trouble because they have not done yearly balanced budget.
Oh, there's no question. There's no question on that. I think there's only about six states that really is not in some kind of a budget crisis. And I just talked to someone, well, he wasn't someone, he was the Speaker of the House from Wyoming, was down at the Capitol a couple of weeks ago. They've just wrapped up their session, and they had a $600 million hole. I mean, it's just, there's numerous states that are dealing with their unbalanced budget or the funding in their state. Kansas, as you well know, it has its issues. So that's what we have, and you have people that won't vote for tax increases. You have people that don't want to, there is no mistake in your delegation here in the Bartlesville region or the Washington County region. We would do something on credits. I would cut the wind credits in a heartbeat, but you need to understand on the western part of the state, they fight just as tenacious to keep those credits as I'm fighting to do away with those credits. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's where all the bickering and negotiations and coming together.
Other policy issues, non-budget related? Budget is a primary focus but I'm sure there's still some mopping up with some policy issues.
You know, the big policy issues that, and you use the mopping up or just kind of wrapping up, is the justice reinvestment. That's a big deal in the state. Mm-hmm. That still has a lot of moving targets. I feel very comfortable that we will complete the work there. However, there will probably be some modifications. You have a group that, you know, they think we've gone too far in regards to dropping the felony to a misdemeanor, And there's just a lot of debate there. But on the same token...
And the law enforcement community was, I'll say, very vocal near the November vote to make sure that people understood what they were doing.
Correct, correct. And then on the same token, our prisons are full. And a lot of it is stuff that's got... We've put a felony on it, and it's drug-related, and I'm not going to defend them. You know, I'm just telling you, our prisons are full of people that are non-violent. But on the same token, they have broken one of our laws in society. And right now, someone that is selling and pushing drugs, is that's against the law, needs to be against the law. Mm-hmm. But anyway, justice reinvestment is a big one that is coming to a close, but there'll be some modifications on that. Another big issue is gross production, drilling in Oklahoma. Vertical and horizontal wells, that's a huge issue. I think we'll have some closure with that. There's a huge move in regards to raising the gross production to help in the budget. That would help in the budget, but it's unfortunate that everybody just thinks if you just raise oil that this budget wall will go away. That nothing could be further than the truth.
Well, and you were very very plain, I think, a couple of weeks ago at the Peak Forum part of it is simply that, yes, we are doing better as a comparative term on the economy, but the economy is not what you would like to base your budget on right now.
Absolutely. So that's a huge issue. I was telling you about people having their positions and stances. And see, I'm one right now. I will not vote to raise the gross production tax unless we put a production tax on wind. We are developing wind at taxpayers' expense in the great state of Oklahoma and selling it to the in Tennessee on down into the south. Cheap energy at the expense of the Oklahoma taxpayers, and I am absolutely adamant that we put a tax on that wind production, that or that electricity that we're creating. I have a plan for that, but that, again, that plan's not going anywhere right now. But one day, I hope it does.
Okay.
And then, other than that, I unless you remind me of one, I mean, you know, you got the standard of we've named a bridge after somebody, or we've cleaned up language in a bill to help numerous state agencies in regards to rules and regulations. But I think those are the big ones, is in regards to oil, justice reinvestment, and the budget.
Go ahead.
There's no question the real ID, but we took care of that early in session.
And
you know, just the good news is if you think government's too much intrusive in your life, you don't have to have that license. But those people that want to fly, go to military installments, go into federal buildings, visit a child that's maybe in a military camp, that's all in place.
Yeah, and I can understand the choice, the giving people that choice. If you like what you got, and I'm not trying to paraphrase a former president, if you like what you got, you can keep what you got.
Right.
One other item, it's not legislative per se, but Mr. Dorflinger did report recently that I think for four out of five months, we at least are positive over the previous year as far as collections are concerned. That is some relatively good news.
Yes, it's a small number, but the point of it is oil's been kicking around back and forth from 46 to 50. Quite frankly, I think it was one day last week, it was almost all the way up to 52. Mm-hmm. But I think yesterday I looked at it, it was $46.70. I don't know what it is today. So there are unemployment is down, is back. People are hiring, but the difference is it's just not those good jobs that was in the oil industry. Oil industry is coming back, but it's not coming back as fast as they went out, and that makes total sense. No question, drilling is up in the state, and the rig count's up. So there's a lot of bright things going on. I say bright things, numerous good spots in our economy, mm-hmm. and I've just never been one of the gloom and doom. There is no question, due to numerous things, we're in this economic tough time right now, and I've put it in writing. Anytime I'm in a town hall meeting, I've said it on this radio show. The tax cuts that we created, or that the Republican Party did over the last several years, is not the reason why that we're having this hole. But now there's no question, if we hadn't cut that let that rate drop last year, $147 million would have been back in the budget. But we still had a $1.2 billion hole. We have to fix these fundamental problems we have in our budget in regards to these one-time funds, and we have to put in place some more revenue that's waiting on us when the session starts again next year to develop the budget. And that's through the tax credits, apportionments, and some tax measures.
One thing that you did mention roughly a year ago, and I'll let you go, you and at the time Senator Ford talked about the number of funds that are dedicated off the top monies that are not discretionary to anybody. We get the money, it goes in this fund.
Correct.
Have you made progress on that?
That's what I'm talking about. That's about $3 billion.
Okay.
This $6 billion, $6.4 billion, about $3 billion of that money is just in lockbox. Everybody can understand that. We've heard it in, you know, in numerous political pundits saying you want to put that money, Social Security, in a lockbox.
Yep.
That's lockbox money. It goes to education, transportation. We're trying to do some things there in regards to not do away with them, but maybe reduce those apportionments that they get, that they receive. And in other words, if you see 0.25 or something from gross production, we may move it down to 1.79. Well, that's a number, but we're finding that they're living on the they can live on the 1.79 instead of the 2.9, because we need that extra 2 or 3 percentage points to help us in the GR. Those are some of the things. You know, I've rattled off these three things, and let us not forget in regards to cutting budgets.
Right.
I mean, we have done a great job this year reviewing budgets in regards to telling the directors, you know you don't have much waste because we've been cutting budgets for several years. But on the same token, downsizing your programs and what we can live without and keeping those quality programs. The theme this year is to leave. We want to make sure core government, that our taxpayers and our citizens expect to have a quality government. They want core government funded and funded adequately to serve them in the everyday lives in the state of Oklahoma.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time. Thank you for your service to the students at Central, by the way.
Charlie, I am confident that we will be in session next Friday, and the three of us won't be here, but I'll coordinate with you, and we'll try to do it we'll call you from the Capitol.
Okay.
And we'll record it, okay?
Thank you all very much.
And thank you, Phillips 66.
Thank you very much. Again, Capitol Call brought to you by Phillips 66. A little bit of time this morning with State Representative Earl Sears, and we've got Bruin Buzz on the way in just a bit.
It's 2:37 p.m. Sarah needs a bit of a break, so she stopped by her local Phillips 66 station, where she could take a rest and get her best friend Muffy a bowl of water.